9:32 on 580 CFRA. Have you changed all of your clocks? I know some of them change automatically, but not all of them. But imagine if you had 2,000 or so clocks. What do you think that you'd do then? Well, actually, I do know somebody that may have 2,000 or so clocks, so we'll ask him. Alan Simmons is the force behind the Canadian Clock Museum in Deep River. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Dan. Thanks very much for the invitation to talk with your listeners about clocks and setting them back.
So what do you do? You have 2,000 clocks. What do you do?
Our collection is probably closer to 2,500, but most of them, a lot of them are in storage, and of the ones that are on display, about 450, there may be 40 that are actually running. So I do have to worry about resetting 40 clocks every spring and every fall.
And when do you start doing that, Alan?
Well, this time of year, Sunday is a day off for me, so I'll be in tomorrow. And for the ones that you can't wind backwards, anything that's got springs or weights with two or three winding holes in the dial, you'll damage the movement likely if you try to back them up. So what I tend to do for all of those is just stop them for an hour, as I did for the three clocks here at home. And then restart them.
Now, and a number of the clocks that you have at the museum require winding.
Yes, spring or weight-driven clocks that run for a week. There are about 20 that I wind up every Saturday morning.
Wow. Now, I don't even know where to start with you, but how about, why don't we start with the daylight saving story, the daylight saving time story?
Yes, and your listeners might be interested. There's a good, excellent two-page article that I think was back in 2007, the winter spring edition of The Country Connection. That was an Ontario publication that may still be in business. And it was titled The Battle for Daylight Saving. And it was brought in apparently originally in the, for the Canadian government proposed back in 1917 because of the First World War.
Yeah, and there was a lot of controversy surrounding it. And it really wasn't, it wasn't sort of finalized as something that we did every year until I think it was 1918.
That's right. It was a year later. It sort of died on the table, so to speak, in the government in 1917. And again, even then, farmers and other rural residents were particularly incensed for reasons that went far beyond a little tweaking of timepieces. And that's read out of that article.
Now, in the end, what was the clincher that finally made Canada move to use daylight saving time?
Well, it's curious because, again, the article was written out of all the records in recorded in Hansard, of course, and they were referring about with more daylight hours during the spring and summer, factories could reduce the cost of workplace lighting, which made essential items a little cheaper, and apparently switching to daylight saving time was presented to Canadians back then as a patriotic duty.
Wow.
Farmers weren't happy.
No, not at all, but it was then in when the U.S. went and adopted it in 1918, then it became obvious that Canada had to follow suit.
I think so. That often happens. And as you know, what, several years ago, the number of weeks, it started a bit earlier and ended a little bit later. And being consistent, I guess, with North American standards.
Now, tell us, Alan, a bit about your museum, because you have really... You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that don't realize that the Canada Clock Museum is actually in Deep River, Ontario.
That's right. One little correction, it's the Canadian Clock Museum.
Okay,
but
sorry.
We're just 30 seconds off the Trans-Canada Highway, so a lot of travelers, people going Montreal or Ottawa to Vancouver, whichever, will see the signs. But it's the only clock museum in Canada, and it's focused on Canadian-made clocks for the most part. We have examples back to the 1820s. And the most modern one we have was installed less than 2 weeks ago. It was a post or a street clock installed on our front lawn by a new company in Ottawa, the Canadian Clock Company in Ottawa, that donated the clock to the museum. So we have all sorts of things. West Clocks Canada, people know alarm clocks and wall clocks. Not so many people know Snyder clocks out of Toronto, and that was basically 1950 to 1976, Harry Snyder and then his son Michael. A lot of starburst wall clocks that people remember from the 60s and 70s. A lot of TV lamps with clocks built in the 50s. A lot of strange designs back then, and pink and turquoise colors were common.
Now, one of the companies that you're an expert on is the Paganaw clock company. That was a Canadian company back in the 40s.
That's right. 100% Canadian made clocks. And Arthur Paganaw from Switzerland, in fact, started in 1904 when Kitchener was still known as Berlin, Ontario. So there are Paganaw mantle, wall, and what he called hall clocks or grandfather clocks, close to 90 different catalog models produced for almost 40 years.
Now, what sort of, can you tell a Paganaw clock when you see one? Like, is there something, a look about it or something?
It's not so much a look. Most of the time, the company label is still on, and we get requests through our museum's website. Basically, people find or inherit Paganaw clocks, but a lot of them on the dial, you'll see the company name, and the early ones will actually say Berlin, Canada on the dial. On the label, if the company label is still there, it will say either Berlin or Kitchener with the full name. And even sometimes the clock movement in a lot of mantle clocks was marked with the company name as well.
On it. Now, tell me, you get some calls with people that may pick up one of these clocks at a garage sale. I know you had a call not too long ago, the call from a gentleman in Mississauga, I think it was.